multiple legal teams are involved and what the fees cover and how long all of this takes. And this question, and thank you very much, from Ranzu in Douglasdale, who contacted us on business@hot1027.co.za. Well, we have scoured the lands and we found the very best person to answer the question. Kirsty D'Souza, professional support lawyer in real estate at Cliffdecker Hoffmeyer Incorporated. Good evening to you and a very warm welcome. Let's go back to the very beginning then, Kirsty, and thanks for doing this. Can you explain why both buyer and seller need separate legal teams for property registration? Surely there's an easier way of doing it.
Good evening, Jeremy and listeners. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to answer the questions. So two separate legal teams from the seller's point of view and the purchaser's point of view usually ends up when there is a bond. So if it was a cash purchase, obviously it would be a little bit different. It would be a situation that there's only one attorney who's dealing with the transfer of the property. Okay. However, if a bond is registered on behalf of the purchaser will have reached out to a specific bank, Green Bank in your listener's question. Banks maintain very specific panel-appointed conveyances for the registration of their bonds. And these bond attorneys are then familiar with and aware of the various procedures which that specific bank requires. So those panel attorneys also need to be set up on third-party vendor platforms, which banks use as a risk-averse method of communicating safely with their bond conveyances, attorneys, often, you know, sharing documents that are very sensitive. So it's a situation that you don't want this just moving to and fro via email. And then, of course, when it comes to the transfer attorneys, our law, our legal system states that the seller has the discretion to choose the transferring attorney. So, for example, you're purchasing property, Jeremy, and your bank has said that you need to go with attorneys A, B, and C because they are on their panel. Whereas I'm the seller and I'm like, no, I like my attorneys and they are XYZ attorneys. That is usually why you end up with two separate attorneys.
So, Kirsty, you mentioned the procedures that are involved in this, and I am going to play devil's advocate here. How complicated are those procedures, and could a person do it themselves?
Unfortunately, it is firstly not only complicated because of the different entities, associations, government organizations that which we need to reach out to, but the risk associated is very large. It's a situation that if an individual were to transfer property by themselves and something potentially went wrong or there was fraud, for example, there wouldn't be the same insurances that we as attorneys obviously need to maintain. And the legal profession obviously is taught about the legal principles around property law. So no, it's not really something that individuals can ever consider doing by themselves, and it is definitely something that is a lot more complicated. Reaching out to SARS, dealing with transfer duty, reaching out to municipalities for rates clearance figures and the subsequent certificates, dealing with homeowners associations, body corporates, knowing how to interpret the various agreements and any other conditions within those agreements which need to be fulfilled. So it's a lot more complex than I think a lot of people think it is. There's a lot of moving parts.
Okay, Kirsty, you've won that side of the argument, so let's move on. Ranzu also wants to know why there are additional legal fees and why these are not covered by the bond fees. And once you've answered that, maybe give us a sense of the specific services itemized that are covered by the legal fees in the transaction. But first of all, why can't the fees just be covered in the bond fees?
The fees are generally not covered in the bond fees because it's two separate entities. The law firm is separate from the bank in this specific situation. Now, a long time ago, probably before a lot of the listeners were old enough to be buying properties, banks used to give something that was called 105 or 106% bond. And that would mean that the amount of the purchase price plus a little bit extra was extended to try and help cover these fees. Banks no longer do that. It's a little bit too risky. And as such, those registration fees, that registration that is overseen by an attorney who is skilled in that specific field of law, those fees are kept separate. It's a situation of that individual will then need to pay the attorney for their services in registering the bond. And that bond obviously has to be registered as security for the bank that is extending this loan. That's why they're not merged together for that specific reason. It becomes an administrative difficulty to have fees paid to a bank, and then those fees need to be extended to the attorneys, and it's something that they keep separate nowadays.
So is there a boilerplate list of legal fees, or can these change depending on the complexity of the transaction?
Generally, there's actually a boilerplate for this specific kind of legal work, which is actually really nice. So, for example, if the listeners were to go onto the Cliff Decker Hofmeyr website, they would actually have a calculator under the real estate option. There is a calculator where you can see if I needed a bond of 5 million rand or 2 million rand or 500,000 rand registered, how much would that cost me? And the reason we can do a calculation like this in advance is because the Law Society issues conveyancing fee guidelines every year, usually at the beginning of May every year. And that, though those specific guideline fees actually run on a sliding scale. So based on the value of the property and the risk associated with registering that specific bond, transfer, etc., it actually works on a fee that is associated to the value of the property or the bond registration. So yes, there is actually a bit more of a boilerplate. It gives a person a much better idea of what this legal service is going to cost them, as opposed to other fields where it works on an hourly basis, and sometimes you need 2 hours and sometimes you need 20 hours. You just don't know until you're in the thick of it.
All right. Ranzu from Douglasdale, I hope that you're still listening and that you're not running for the hills. Let's look at time now. How long, Kirsty, does the entire process take from start to finish, and what would common delays be?
Okay. Ideally, in an ideal world, if the seller and the purchaser have both provided all the necessary documents in a timely manner, they're both able to attend the attorney's offices for signature of the relevant documents, and there aren't any issues with municipalities, no disputed arrears, no issues with SARS potentially, and the seller pays the municipal clearance figures when the attorney sends it through, then you're probably looking at about 6 weeks. I mean, I've obviously done some where it's less than 6 weeks. Yeah. And obviously some where I thought it would be 6 weeks, and then it ended up being a tickle more. I would say work on 6 weeks. That's probably the safest. But considering that we're midway through October, I do think it's prudent to let the listeners know that they should factor in delays over festive seasons like Christmas and Easter. The deeds offices are usually closed between Christmas and New Year's. But even though that small gap of them being closed, they need to factor in that the festive season, the greater festive season, usually sees offices like the deeds office, SARS, municipalities, running on a skeleton staff. And that usually happens from about the second week of December until the second week of January. Because of that, you may expect additional delays. So if it's the festive season coming up, factor in a few extra days, potentially a few extra weeks, a week or two,
right,
depending on how complicated your matter is, obviously.
All right. Ranzu, when you eventually complete the purchase of that home, Kirsty and I are both expecting an invitation to the housewarming. You've just been given the best free legal advice of your life. Thank you very much indeed to Kirsty D'Souza from Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. And if you have a question, and we tackle this every Wednesday on the program, all you need to do is email me at business@hot1027.co.za, and we'll find the very best person to answer the question. Kirsty, thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
Hot Business on Hot 1027.